Welcome, everyone, to This Week in Casting, episode 105. Happy Friday, everyone. Very happy to see you all. If you're joining online from anywhere in the world, or if you're listening to a recording that will be delivered to you or was delivered to you, and you're having a good time. Thank you for joining. I am Natalia, or you can address me, call me Nat in a short way, and I am hosting this show today with Alexander, who will be your host today and hopefully going to have a very, very good show. Just a reminder that we have a code of conduct, Ministry of Testing, that you can find on ministryoftesting.com. It is in place for every chat, and above in the motors already giving you a link that you can check it out. And we're going to have a chat as usual today. We don't have any topic. In general, how was this week in quality, what upcoming events, what happened throughout the week. Yeah, just as usual, enjoy. And if you'd like to join the stage later on the show, you're very welcome. Let me just introduce or hand it over to Alexander. And hi, how are you doing today?
Hello, Natalia. Hello, everybody. Yeah, I'm back after some time. I'm really enjoying being here and hosting and sharing all of the interesting parts or interesting news in the testing and quality that we have in Ministry of Testing and at the rest of the world. Yeah, my week in testing is pretty interesting and nice, a lot of insights. But before that, I want to mention a few things. First of all, I want to mention the upcoming events that will take place all over the world in Ministry of Testing. So on September 20th, it will be AI and Playwright MCP to Test Web Workshop in MLT SUS. So if you in this location, please join. And I think it will be very interesting and very insightful because it's like top-notch experience with all these fancy AI tools. Also, on September 24th, it will be a meetup in Valencia. Also, to be an interesting topic regarding how AI changes everything, especially test automation strategy. If you are in Valencia, please join. And in September 25th, there will be a meetup, MMT meetup in Leeds. And the talk will be about elevating your career and becoming a testing generalist. We mentioned actually a few episodes before the concept of being generalist and why it is important. I think it's very interesting topic and it will spark a lot of discussions, I hope. And the last thing that I want to mention in terms of events, if you have not purchased for some reason tickets to Test Bash Brighton, it will be on October 1st and 2nd, just really close to this date. And yeah, join. It's like the biggest event, and I think a lot of people will be there, and it is a beautiful opportunity to see each other and see beautiful speakers talk about testing, talk about quality. I think it will be great. And all of the events, these that I described just right now, and the rest of the events, you can find on the Ministry of Testing website on the events page. So please check this out.
That's very cool. Lots of events. I feel like I need to have like event tour or collect meetups in different countries and different cities as well. And speaking of, there's been a lot of events in the past. So Alexander is talking about future. I'm talking about the past today, just for events. Yeah, if you go to Ministry of Testing, like memories, you can see all those beautiful photos from events in Munich, in Spain, in, I think, as well, Italy. And all those as well, some of them will pop up on homepage, right? So it could be yours also. That's very cool to be on the homepage. I remember when I was the first time on the homepage, I felt very special, right? So that's how Minister of Testing makes you feel. Yeah, check it out. Memories homepage. There's a lot of events this year happened comparing to previous years. People meeting in person, socializing, talking about different topics, core skills, technical skills, just chatting about any other different areas and having a really good time. I'm having a FOMO. I was an event in London yesterday, MOT of testing. I see a lot of memories and a lot of people that come in now regularly, right? So you can meet each other like every other month at events. So very cool to hear, like heartwarming and community vibe is really thriving. Amazing. Cool. Right. Should we now talk about a little bit, like how was your weekend tested and quality, Alexander? Yeah, sure.
So the first thing that I want to mention that I just got certified with an MOT Software Testing Essentials certificate. It was really a nice course, and yeah, I got a lot of insights from it, especially from the topics of risk management. If you haven't checked this certificate, please check. It's worth spending time and getting all of this information. And the biggest and the most insightful or interesting thing for me is just that the content of this certificate is not just getting from somewhere, like from one person. It's like a collective effort of a lot of people, a lot of testers from the community. So it's like community-driven certificate. So yeah, check this out. And the last interesting thing that I was involved in this week in testing is that I got another round of, let's say, experience that a good visualization is very like important in our work, especially when we are dealing with something complex. Because when you see, for example, a complex requirement or a complex algorithm that you need to test, it may seem at the first sight that it is pretty okay and it is understandable. But then if you start to dig into and start to visualize every step of the algorithm, whatever tools you are using, it can tools. So I'm using Miro, but also I'm using Excalidro. There are a lot of different tools on the market. But when you are visualizing it step by step, then you will get more and more information, and it leads to more and more questions about how this algorithm should work. Because one thing that it is like described how algorithms should work on paper, for example, and then and we need, as testers, we need to understand how it should work. And then we can compare it with an actual work that was implemented by the developer. And that, like, the essence of our work. And yeah, the main idea here is do not hesitate to visualize your ideas, visualize your work, and it will be a starting point to the conversations with your fellow colleagues, with developers, with managers, and by conversation, by communication, you will get a feedback on what your requirements are. And this feedback is also very crucial. So I'm just totally advocating visualization here. It's very handy, and it should be like a skill of any good tester, not only writing a bunch of automation tests and that's it. So there are a lot of facets of and tools of modern test engineer. And what about you, Natalia? How was your vegan testing?
Yeah, it was maybe similar to yours, but first I want to add up. I absolutely love what you say and how you use, and I also a very visual person. So for me, putting thoughts into diagram or connecting them is crucial, right? And like you said, we all understand like what has been written when we translate in a very different way, how we understand, like you and me could read the same paragraph, build a different connection between those like endpoints or inputs, outputs, right? But when it is on the visualization where the boxes are and where the arrows that go in and connection and state changes, that actually make things very straightforward.
Right.
Even on the session yesterday with Ben, he was using those tools that you mentioned, and I'm using Miro as well, and Marmaid with AI is quite fast to put some thought into a diagram. And things may took into the turn, right? Like we thought about one thing, AI told us what about this state as well. And you think about state transitions and you absolutely expand your thinking to something that you didn't see first time. And yeah, slowly as well, moving how I'm always practicing today, exactly the same thing, because at the minute I'm, as part of my this week in quality and testing, I want to have some POC as the proof of concept of API kind of endpoints testing, right? First, I started like very quickly, like I need three things. I need test runner, I need HTTP client and some version library, and see what the easiest way to start in and expand and put in to use it, right? But then I start thinking how I would build like in the future, like framework and how things will grow. I start thinking, hold on a second, but what about architecture, right? So do I really know how the whole components work and where that communication goes? And then I, like you said, I had to put the diagram in play, our information that I have, and share it to developers, say, I'd like to have your very early feedback on something I'm working on to see if I'm on the right path. Right. Do you think this diagram is fair to represent how API works with middleware, how this communication happens with front end, right? So something that is there. And yeah, it's mostly great, but I struggle with this part. And why did you like have this part? Right. So now we can have very specific conversation. And once we have the same diagram in place, we understand when we say I'm going from A to Z through middleware, we all see the same picture, right? Because it is there on the paper. We did not build a different picture in our head that could be not matching each other. So that's powerful. That was part of my week in quality. I recommend to everyone, you have pretty much AI assistance on any visualization tools. We used yesterday in Mermaid AI with Ben. I used today as well on Cursor AI or as well in Notion. So you have those tools who can build you a base and then you build up on top. Whereas a year ago, it was quite complicated. You have to put yourself all those boxes and think about where the connection goes and how those connections impact the further communication and assistance. Yeah, use your advantage and have it as a topic conversation with your teams to clarify ambiguities, like misunderstanding, discover new things and other areas when you think, oh, I didn't think about that, it actually exists. So yeah, that was interesting. That's a big part. I do enjoy doing that. The life will be along the line much easier, right? When things are clear, how to work with those things, right? So the cognitive load will go down. So yeah, that was my weekend in quality.
Yeah, I totally agree that we need to use the modern AI tools. And actually, in the interviews nowadays, a lot of companies are asking these questions on how are you using AI in daily work. And because it becomes, I can see that a mandatory skill, but a very useful skill to everybody, no matter what you are doing and at which position you are working. In my experience, or in like recent experience, what I found in the terms of AI is then another, let's say, AI tool. It is a tool from Google. It's Notebook LM. Basically, how it differs from the any other tools on the market that we are all getting used to is that in this tool, you can learn and you can ask the AI questions, but this algorithm or LLM system will base the judgments only on the materials that you provide. For example, you can throw a book there as a material, you can throw a YouTube video, for example, a set of blog posts, and then you can chat with this bot and ask questions or even create a mind map of the concepts in these materials, or create a study guide and so on. So that, for example, the probability of hallucinations in such an AI will be less comparing to the regular, let's say, products, for example, like ChatGPT or others. I'm not saying that they are bad, but let's say we don't know the sources for the ChatGPT and what they base the information for. But in Notebook LM, we can control those sources. So yeah, I'm experimenting with it this week, and whenever I will get some viable and interesting results, then I will definitely share it in a separate thread in Ministry of Testing Club, or maybe a blog post.
Please do it. I wrote it down, Notebook LM. I'm going to check it out. Yeah, absolutely. As the assistant, love it, right? As the kind of source of truth, always double check. If you're not sure about things where it's saying, just double check and research as well. One more tip that I read yesterday that LMs are also doing, not LMs, like depending on what models you're using, as well with screenshots. Like it was like videos, but also it's doing pretty well with screenshot as additional context. Like, for example, even for UI automation, maybe like spotting the test cases, you've got screenshot of your application or from Figma, things like that. So I didn't know about this trick, so I'll test it out to see how is it doing as well. But yeah, lots of things.
Yeah, and there are more and more things. And then the main question is where to find the time to experiment and to use all the things and all the features that are released every day. Because we are definitely working and we need to do our job stuff, but yeah, there are a lot of tools. But I think communication and conversations and podcasts and like that, it's a great place to share it and to share the results of the experiments and share ideas. And speaking about ideas, what about those who are listening us right now? What about you will share how was your beacon testing and you will join our conversation?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, share your ideas. So maybe even questions that you ask yourself or ask where to find time to learn all those things and have to catch up. So, yeah, please do join the stage. Let's have a chat.
And for those of you who are first at these kind of meetings, so you just need to click the hand button if you are on a web and just choose audio input and do not forget to turn off the camera. And yeah, we will put you on stage. And we have a first user who wants to come to stage. Yeah, I think it's Ben. Hello, Ben.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you? I'm very well, thank you.
Good. And yeah, how is your beacon testing? How is the software testing live session?
I had so much fun last night with Natalia doing the software testing live. I really get a buzz out of these episodes and doing it live and with the audience interaction and going to different topics. Natalia, you were awesome. You really presented the topics like a pro. I had a lot of fun trying to follow along and do the visualization while you were talking because you were bringing all the gold and I was just trying to scribble it out so we could figure it out between us. That was very cool. So yeah, I thought it was very successful.
Thank you so much, Ben. It wouldn't be that successful if you were not like amazing host and your driving skills is really advanced. I learned a lot from you. And yeah, I think it's great to have those sessions where you can learn from each other. Small things that make difference, they give support, confidence and ideas. So yeah, amazing. Thank you for doing that.
Absolutely. And I just wanted to throw in, you were talking before about the visualization, which I think is so important in terms of communicating within your teams and like exploring ideas and testing ideas before they are committed to code or even after they committed to code. And I wanted to introduce you to a cycle that I learned while I was learning to be a tester back in the day. And it's called capture, review, update. So it's this idea that you capture some information about the system and you capture that into a model. And then you review that with a few people who are familiar with the system, with your SMEs, with other testers, with developers, with product people. And then you make updates to the model. And then you go around the cycle again. And after you've been around a few cycles of capturing, reviewing, updating, you get to a point where your models are pretty reasonable representations of reality and are less a single person's opinion. So it's like the models are awesome, but that using them as a form of communication and going through some cycles of review and update are absolutely critical as well. And I just want to add that layer on top. I find it so much easier to talk to a diagram and to review a diagram and to discuss a diagram than a list of requirements that are written down on paper. I really struggle with here's a flat list where we have made all sorts of assumptions that are then highlighting and picking out.
Yes, I completely agree with this, with your proposed cycle. Actually, I got to this cycle by myself empirically. So yeah, that's how I usually work, by capturing models and getting feedback and doing capturing or update again and again. That's like the thing that should be done on a daily basis, more or less.
Yeah, I want to expand on this conversation because I think we all work with requirements. And now Oli also says, I hear you, Ben, I'm going to release the requirement at the moment. I have another problem. I had too much requirements on the tickets and it overwhelms me like in the first moment. But not on the first occasion I see the lack of diagrams for architectural diagrams or flows for decision making or state transition, anything. Would you, based on your experienced opinion, why do you think we don't have enough? Or is it harder to write? Or what's stopping people to put those diagrams in place and have simplified the life along the way, right? I see it as a pattern that it's not enough diagrams, but everyone really love to have one. So what do you think is stopping us of having them?
Absolutely. I don't think there's one answer, but I will hazard a guess at a few possible contributing factors. So one, and in my, this is something I've experienced, is that the skill of thinking about things at a system level and creating diagrams and really designing systems is something that used to live with in a traditional software development team, software architects. And I would definitely say in my experience in some of the teams I've been working with in recent years, there's less availability of software architects for each team. So as things have been broken down into smaller and smaller teams, or smaller things, it's unlikely now that a team has its own software architect. So if you're lucky, you have some software architects operating at some higher level, and maybe they're making some diagrams, but maybe they're at such a high level, they're divorced from the day-to-day work in the team. Or you might simply not have any software architects at all. And then the people you do have left that are developers, senior developers, principal developers, either they might not have that skill set, or they've just got so little capacity because they're working so hard on delivering features. It's not what's being prioritized by leaders, by managers. So if nobody's asking for it and nobody's pushing for it, nobody's selling the value, even if people have the skills, that just might not be where they're putting their time. So that's one possibility. But I think it really depends on the particular situation about why they're lacking. It's definitely a skill that needs practicing, making good diagrams. It's not something that comes naturally and automatically to all people, or that all people have learned at every stage of their development or testing career.
And one thing that I want to add to you, Ben, is that to create a good diagram, first, you need to know how to create the diagram. That's one skill. But the second and the most important skill is to create a diagram of a process of or of a model or something. You need to deeply understand how it works. But like really step by step, what will be like the beginning of the process and what will be the each of the stage. For example, if you are talking about some transformation of data or something else. So we need to have this information. We need to have desire to get this information, because maybe we don't have enough requirements and maybe we have a lot of knowledge that are spread among a lot of people, and we need to find courage to talk to other people and to gather those pieces of information and to put it on paper in the form of diagram. So that's why I think additionally it is hard to create a good diagram, because it requires to talk to a lot of people and to gather this. Actually, it's like a detective skill that we all as testers should pursue.
Yeah, that's a wise observation, I think. I think you've also hit the nail on the head, Ben, without maybe calling out directly, which is that often there's a divide, not always, but there's sometimes a divide between those people with technical knowledge of how individual parts of the code are implemented and those people who deeply understand the product domain. And really, to make excellent diagrams, you actually need to sit between understanding the product domain as well as understanding the technical and the like the engineering, the software domain. And yeah, please stop me if anyone is lost by my use of the term domain. But let's say, for example, I used to work on an app that was a AI symptoms checker. And understanding the business domain of in the different contexts that our customers used that systems checker. So that was both customers in terms of the people we sold to that implemented it within their own process, and then eventually the end user who was looking for care and at triage result. That understanding of the knowledge of how the why the system did what it did and what that product domain was, it wasn't necessarily those same people who were then understanding the, okay, here's how the front end and the back end and the queues and the API is driven, right? So this is again where that kind of stock architect role comes into play, where someone who bridges that product domain and engineering technical domain, sometimes that can be quality engineers, sometimes that can be testers, right? Because that feel that doesn't that sound like exactly the same problem we have as well, where we have to live between product and engineering?
Yes, it's the same or similar thing. And that's why maybe we need to check out the courses like software architecture courses and to have knowledge of the systems and how they are built and what are the building blocks of the systems. Because a lot of test engineers are thinking that it is only up to either architects or developers to know the architecture of the system. But in my opinion, without the knowledge of the how system works, actually you can't be like a senior or a mature test engineer, because that's what distinguishes the tester that only doing one things or just doing test cases and that's it, and the second one or the other one understand system holistically and can predict even what can happen if this component will go down, or what's actually what we can test or we can skip or we can manage risks of testing and not including something into the test suite. Yeah, that's is the thing that we need to take care of.
Very cool. I wonder if anyone else in the audience has any opinion on the topic, or if you've already got anyone else with your hand up that wants to come on stage. I don't have host controls this week, but you're the ones hosting, so I'm going to throw it over to you to see if we can get anyone else on stage.
Yeah, we've got pretty patiently waiting. So let's bring you on stage and we can hear from Pretty today. Let me do that.
I already done.
Oh, cool. Thank you.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, Pretty. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. And I was quietly listening to the conversation going on regarding the speech for the light session yesterday. And I feel like I missed something there. I should be part of that. But on the other side, I'm happy that I was part of the London Meetup 5.0 yesterday, where I got a chance to meet so many people, had a quality time spent there. And it was quite good. The speakers, the topic there shared, everything was like quite energetic. So I feel like start of the week or in day-to-day life, we do usually QA activities, same activities day-to-day life. But whenever we get chance to attend such kind of meetup or the live session which had yesterday, it gives other kind of insights what's happening around, and it really energizes at towards the end of the week. And I feel like we should attend those apart from our regular task which we do. So topics from yesterday's evening meetup, it was about like AI metrics or the rise of the machines or quality engineering and observability. These kind of topics, sometimes what happens is we as a QA know about these things, but it gives a different perspective when we hear such talks or sessions from others as well. I feel like it's good always to attend such kind of meetups and be part of there, and always happy to meet new faces and new people along with the known faces as well.
Very cool, Pretty. Yeah, don't worry. We have recording from the session yesterday, so you can always listen or watch when you have your own time. And I'm very happy that you had a chance to be in person yesterday for MOT Meetup in London. I think there is something special and magic in person event that the online event cannot deliver, because the online, this kind of green thing, something that does not bring the same as in person, although it's equally beautiful that you can connect with anyone in the world like we're doing today through online events. So yeah, mix of this is great to have. Yeah, and diverse topics and 15 different hard or software development measurement and what's coming. It's great to have as any professional. I think the role of QA engineer has developed massively for the last 5-10 years. So it became very broad, some of them more generalist, like Alexander mentioned at the beginning, right? So it's whole holistic way of thinking rather than just small box or activities that you do. But yeah, very cool.
Yeah, it happens sometimes that when we are involved in our day-to-day life in our office, so whatever task or opportunities are there as a part of our job day-to-day, we forget what's happening around. We are much more focused with what is in our plate or in bucket. So we are trying to clean up those things. We are trying to get at the top of those things, only forgetting about where and what new technologies, new things are happening around. So I feel like attending, apart from daily work, attending other meetups, sessions, it is like we get to know new things, the insights more about what's happening around. And as I mentioned that it was online and recording is available. So I believe that the beauty of yesterday's session is there. At least the recording is there. So I feel like not missed at all. Then in that case, I can go and check that recording as well.
And yeah, you are totally right. And what I want to add in terms of attending live events, especially when you know for sure that this live event will be recorded. And then the whole essence and magic of live event is happening between the actual talks, I mean, presentations. So in you have an opportunity to talk to other people, to share your ideas, to talk to the speakers. That's the main thing in the public events and offline events. And talking to people, generally, not for all, but generally it can be a source of your motivation at work. For me, it is. So when I talk to another person and I get another opinion on some topic, and it gets a lot of ideas to me, and it motivates me to dig into profession and to stay in this profession for a long time. So yeah, communication and talking is a good thing.
Yeah, I look forward to just to meet as many people as possible. I find it like as a retreat, right? Like when people go to recharge and get some energy back. So that's my as well part of the goal, to recharge, retreat and talk to many people, ideas and changing environment. So it's all very, very positive long term. Should not underestimate it. Yeah, meeting people. So yeah, look forward to that quite a lot. Yeah, just checking if we've got anyone else would like to join the stage and share how their week in quality and testing been, or anything really. We touch on the topics of generalist or sketching diagrams of meeting people, AI, of course. I think it's going to be always mentioned in the chat and different events. Anything you can bring to the stage is very welcome. Yeah, come and join us to talk about what you'd like to talk about, really. It's your stage, right? So we're here to support you. And Ben is giving us pro tip as well. Create a regular watch party session, invite others, and work through your backlog while they're in the lab. You can even take notes as we go, and after you can compare notes and see how it could be applicable to you and your company. Yeah, that's great one. I told Ben yesterday I need to learn from him a lot how he organizes. I haven't had many of those, but I see already the benefit of it. I'll come to you, Ben, when I see you. Yeah, so we've got someone who'd like to join. Christine. Oh, it's been a long time. Oh, I haven't talked to Christine. Shall I bring her in? Let me do that.
Hello.
Hi, Christine. Yeah, nice to see you on stage.
Nice to see you too as well, or everyone in the round. It's been a while. It's been very busy, but it's nice to be back in this week of testing. I have missed it.
Yeah, we missed you as well. How have you been? How your time in testing been? It's been a while. So yeah, tell us more.
Yeah, it's been busy. This week, it's been all about quality coaching, because not just Test Bash is coming in 2 weeks. I'm also going to fly to Sofia to QA Challenge Accepted and going to have a talk. I'm not here to catch bugs, but here to coach. So I'm in the end phase of my slides, as I'm a more of a late slide creator. It's just how I am. It's more about 2 weeks, 1 week before is when I finally finish them, because I have a lot of ideas and have just always a little bit challenged to put them together. And it's always easier. And yeah, I'm searching a lot about also like current trends. How can you help more with communication, empathy, continuous learning? So I'm looking a lot in research right now, but also very interesting. My LinkedIn got a little bit more active. I was, I think, almost 2-3 months offline, and then also started more now to chat there as well. I'm also using more the Metaverse, which I'm find now. There's now the comment. I'm not sure if that's super long already active. I have no idea. I just seen it this week that you can now comment on the memories and stuff like that. It's super interesting. I'm super excited how this is going to be like. And yeah, it's really nice to be back in the community, get just communication, just talk with people and quality coaching. I find that such a universal topic, which we always talk about. Hey, we're not just there to own the quality alone or just do the quality alone. It's always better to get the whole team involved. And as I learned over all these years, and I also read now in articles and everything, every team every product, every industry, but I think in the end, every team, even in the same product and same industry, needs a different approach. And it also comes also down, how do you like to work and how do you like to work with them? Because there's also so many different approaches and it's always in the end about relationships. So that's my week all have been. Beside, we are also preparing our next testing phase with Wizzo from Epic Test Quest. We have, I don't know if Miriam is here, but Preeti is here. They tested the latest version of our Slack app, which gotten, I think, I had fun reading the feedback and I'm currently implementing that as well. And we are all preparing now for Test Bash. We're bringing awesome stickers. I can announce it here already, like super creative stickers. We worked really hard on that and there's really awesome stuff we did. And I'm super excited to give that out as well. We packed quite a lot and get it from multiple areas as well. And yeah, there will be a lot of fun also seeing so many people, which I now since over a year mainly saw online, or like also some people in the Athens meetup, or on the London meetup, or in the Vancouver. Oh, I think I'm not sure if people from Vancouver will come. But yeah, also the Cork meetup. It will be super interesting to be back in Brighton. And this time, not alone. I also will bring Aaron with me as well as my co-founder and CEO. And a lot of you also talked to him before, and now you can see him as well. Really fun.
Wow. Wow. Look forward to it. I'm very happy you're doing so many amazing things and talks. I love this title that you do. No, here to catch the bug, from here to code. Yeah, we do need coaching, and I believe we do a lot of coaching as well, particularly I would say there to say on senior level, on principal, like even meet juniors, right? We do a lot, but also I don't think it's equally recognized in coaching, and I know lots of companies, they need coaching. They possibly don't know about this yet. More to come and look forward to meeting you. Please, yeah, bring all stickers in the world. Very happy that you're coming. Expand the team this time. I remember last year you've been on your own. That's very cool to see. You're also growing as a company business and engaging. So yeah, like getting together again, very cool. Love it.
Yeah, I think also you're completely right. It is a lot of, finally now I have the feeling through the whole AI vibe and vibe coding, vibe testing and all these beautiful things, spaghetti codes and everything, which we used to have with somebody pointed out to me back in the 80s already before we had object-oriented programming, we used to have spaghetti code. Then we had for a while good coding, and now with the vibe coding of millions of lines, we have spaghetti code again. I think coaching will now be more interesting because people are going through a different, they're learning all of the stuff now in a new way. And I think at least what I saw, I had some people also reaching out to me to ask, hey, here, we might not have the money for full-time QA, but maybe we can get some coaching from you or some engagement, which I don't have time, but I know I also pointed to some people which might have time. And maybe this will be hopefully a more recognized field. I still believe having full-time QA people on the team is also very important, but I also understand that there are more and more cuts, as we all know, and more automation, more about things. But the same as, I don't know, hundreds of developers and QAs got removed in the last, I think, year now, I also see the rise of now hiring everybody back because we realize this AI bubble, as Sam Altman also said, is we are still in it, but we will soon be out. It's a lot of hype, but now we see there's just not as much yet as it can, or it should be, let's say that way.
Yeah. I feel a little bit we're not jumping the curve of hype. I think we are somewhere just going steady, right? So whereas a couple of months ago, it was overwhelming. But I think now we're unpacking what's working, what doesn't work, what other things you can still do with tools that you have in place. Like the other time I was thinking about MCP servers, like what's beneficial in them that I can't do with traditional classic code, right? And I know that there is an episode of This Week in Testing about MCP still have to hear, but I will later say, yes, some things like this is great, but maybe not now, right? But it's interesting to see, more quality coaching and packing and the knowledge, the base, I think even with yesterday, like the base of testing, it's a call, right? For like technology and frameworks will change, tools will change, but your base will be always your kind of strong core to navigate through all different technologies, your principles of coding, your design systems, your way of understanding where things go and how to connect those dots will be alongside your journey all the time. Yeah. But it is slightly was overwhelming. I'm personally happy it's getting steady, right? So we can breathe out, actually dive in and say, okay, what's working, what's not working.
Completely agree. There was like a big party on the playground. Everybody jumped in, everybody made everything. And it's very fascinating. I'm not sure if, because I joined a little later, if we also talked about the interesting thing Vivium is creating. It's like, even I was not really active on LinkedIn and still got swapped into this of the couple of, even I think LinkedIn even sent me some notification about, hey, have you done Vivium? Is that what? So what Jason Higgins did, and also very interesting in the episode he was with the Automation Guild, he actually explained, and I didn't even know that, why MCP is actually not as good when it comes to timing and performance. And I did not know that. He actually went into this now by creating Vivium and everything is behind it. But it shows that it took a lot of this like big bubble and a lot of huh. And now the people who basically created a lot of our base, hey, Selenium and I forgot the mobile one is currently out of my Appium. Yeah, I think so. Please correct me. I forgot already what I'm not doing mobile testing often enough to actually use it, but I know there are these bases. And it's just, it's so interesting that this now also he's going to a next step. I have no idea how he's going to create it. I think he should come here on This Week in Testing and tell us a little about of this whole thing. But it's interesting that it took a little bit of time to get this maturity, hey? The maturity actually of the LLMs. And even that I'm doing this since 2 years and I still have sometimes during the days, oh my God. Why is it still hallucinating? Why is it lying? Or why has it gotten bad again? But I think it would be very interesting to see how this all evolves. We all know that this, what Anthropic CEO said half a year ago, that 90% of the code is written by AI. It's not true. We actually have now multiple MIT studies and everything that people are actually slower with using cool AI tools and everything. So we have to see. I hope really much that now, after all this like hype, they will actually go into this, how there's a German way of saying it, like going to the meat basically to actually create something sustainable and with a good base. But in the end, what Natalia said as well, it comes down that you have your toolkit, hey, your critical thinking, these AI tools. If you use all of these tools without critical thinking, without your base knowledge of also what good testing means, what quality means, what asking the question, like again, you're also in a team. Even if you have a team of, I don't know, 4 developers and 10 AI agents, you should still be good in engaging with your 4 developers as well. I think that's very important. And I see the vibe-driven development, yeah, that definitely led to Vivium as well. I'm super excited for that one. Let's see what's going to be.
Yeah, totally. It is something interesting that we need to check out because, yeah, I saw this Vivium for a few times, but I even started to take a look at the code because it was like some minor release, first release, but yeah, because for me it is more interesting to check out how it really works and what we can do like in real life, testing life. So yeah, let's check it.
I completely agree. I think he just created a super hype, and that what I found fascinating. It wasn't not working at all, but he was very good in creating a hype of something which is not there yet. And I was very fascinated from our industry. That's what I found very cool.
Yeah, and from the hype point of view, I even saw a few test engineers on LinkedIn set their like titles to Vivium tester or something like that. So they are professional Vivium users, even if the tool is not officially like publicly released. So the hype is here, and I think it could be a very nice example of marketing on how to create a hype. So it should be studied on how to do some similar things with new testing products. And we are heading towards the end of the current conversations. If somebody has the ending words or the final words about AI or visualization tools, please share it.
If you don't mind, I have a last word to say.
Yes.
And sure. That is, whether it's vibe coding or any of these other modern uses of AI and development, as we were mentioning earlier with all the visualization stuff and the making diagrams, whether it's spaghetti code or vibe-based automation, the thing that we're missing out on, the thing that is at risk, is at threat while we go through this process, is the human interaction between the developers, the testers, the product people within our delivery teams. So focus on, as the tools evolve to do things for us, how we can optimize for improving collaboration and doing these things together and making human decisions. So don't let the humans get forgotten while the tools are getting automated.
Thank you, Ben, for sharing.
Yep.
Yeah, I wanted to add, like, from my experience, from what we learn. So I said myself, I think I read it somewhere, which is reflected on related to me, do not commit anything you're not sure about, right? So if you need to take some time, understand where things are, and the best test is if you can explain to someone else what that code means, implementation, or even document writing, anything, that's your kind of like a health check, right? And I know it's all about tools now, and it's all about maybe kind of vendors, commercial things, and we can cut up in tools. I think it's a common theme in software development and testing. But yeah, do as well check in with yourself and say, okay, tools is for me to help. What is my craft? What is my stand? And UCI for supporting you, right? For learning, speeding up things, but also human interaction, like Ben said, and decision making and pushing things that you know is right, or what they're doing. That should be your kind of a go-to advice, unsolicited advice, but more like metrics, like thresholds to see. But yeah, now we are our past, and I think that would be end of our conversation for today, as I understand, and we see you next time at the same time, the same place. Please come and share your ideas, experience, challenges, questions. You can always find us on Ministry of Testing. I very appreciate the book in the Motoverse. I shared all our profiles. Please do check it out. I think there is also a possibility to schedule some kind of time and coaching if people already put their time on the profile. There is a new feature where you can put the a calendar link, and then you can schedule time with people. So check it out if there is a possibility to have a chat if you need one. Otherwise, we'll see you and hear you hopefully next time, Friday, 1 p.m. UK time. And for now, have a wonderful Friday and see you next time. Bye.
Bye.